All right. I'm going to ask our next speaker to come up here. We actually have Brother David Nikilski, who's going to share a little message with you guys tonight.
Praise the Lord, everybody. They said they wanted a next generation preacher. Well, out of the mouth of babes, right? He said he's ready to preach, so I might give him a little bit of help, but you have something you want to say to the congregation?
That's a lot.
Maybe next time. Maybe next time.
Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I love Brother David because whenever he talks, he shouts real loud. David, what are you doing over there? I'm doing, you know, whatever it is. It's like he's so energetic and so enthusiastic. And I believe someday in the name of Jesus that he's going to be chasing some devils away. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Freedom. Freedom was the song. Amen? Hallelujah. Many of us here today have been set free indeed, as the song said. Free from sin, free from bondage. And if you've not experienced that, you can have that before you leave here today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we love you, God. Thank you for your liberty. Thank you for your spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, minister to this people, we, your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Please stand for the reading of the word. Hallelujah. Please forgive me for not giving scripture, Sister Rubist. I forgot that. Genesis 1:27. The Bible says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Revelation 4:11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things." Everyone say, all things. "And for thy pleasure they were created." For his pleasure, amen. In Isaiah 43:21, "This people have I formed," God is saying, "for myself they shall show forth my praise." Amen. Tonight, with your help, I would like to speak from broken to beautiful. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Broken to beautiful. But I'm going to need some help with that, so I need somebody to preach with me. Who's willing to do that in here? Amen? Looking for some preachers. I'm going to chase some devils out of here in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. You know, I've always had a passion for art, something that you don't brag about a whole lot. When you think of art, you think of, like, that softer side, you know? But I've always enjoyed going to museums. Sometimes Sister Nicole's got to pull me, but once I get in, I really get into it. You go to museums, art museums, and you have artists like M.C. Escher, if you've ever heard of him. He's got art that is really kind of out there. His, like, left brain or right brain, I don't know, whichever, dominant, but he's got things that are just like the never-ending staircase, if you've ever seen that. It just looks like guys going forever and ever in a staircase, and you're like, oh, how does he do this? And you look and you try to figure it out. That's right. Or he has created, you know, just different rooms, and within the room there's different pictures and different levels and different paradigms. So, and then you have artists like Claude Monet, who creates the beautiful masterpieces that we see so many doctor's offices, but you know what? They still don't comfort us when we get our shots. Amen. And then we have Van Gogh. He was thought crazy, cut his own ear off. You know, a lot of these artists, when they weren't famous until after they died. And then they became famous. So Van Gogh was actually very talented, though. And then I have my favorite artists, Mackenzie and Madison and Grant, who have littered our refrigerator with many pictures through the years. You know, but One of my favorite artists is Jesus. Amen. You know, have you ever stopped and driven through the mountainside and you look at the beautiful Smoky Mountains or wherever you go to travel and you just look and you have to stop and take it in and just look at God's majesty. God's beautiful and his hand has created all that. Actually, it wasn't his hand because the Bible says he spoke it into existence. Amen. The rivers. I love looking at the beauty of the rivers and the trees, even the trees. I got the privilege Monday to driving up to Manitowoc. And just seeing the fall trees, and it's such a something that we take for granted here in Wisconsin, but people travel up here to see the beauty of the fall the color changes. God's beauty in wildlife. I always enjoy wildlife. I love hunting, but I really love getting out there and just seeing the beauty of God's creation and the animals. In God's creation, God created my beautiful wife. Amen. He's a great artist. So, I think that God's greatest creation, I don't have to think it because I know it, because in the Bible tells us that God's greatest creation is man. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created, amen? Not Buddha, not Muhammad, no big explosion, but the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, Genesis 1, 1 and 2. And the Bible says that the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground. Now we have to pause there and think about that. Because if you look in the book of Genesis, God spoke creation, but he took the time to form man. Amen? He took the time to create man and sculpt man. And the Bible goes on to say that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen? That's what separates us from the animals. I mean, animals, God made a beautiful animal, but we have a soul that will go on to live forever, even after our body perishes. And we have to make the choice of where we want to live someday. Do we want to follow God's word and be obedient and go to heaven, or do we want to live a life of sin and go the other place? Amen? We don't like to think about that, but you know, it's something to think about, a living soul. And the Bible says that God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let us make man in our image. God thought so wonderfully and so much of his creation of man that he created man in his image. Now, does that mean that if God were to take a selfie and post it on Facebook that you would look like Jesus? I don't think so. He's talking about his character. He's talking about his nature. Amen. God has a passion, as Sister Nicole shared this morning, for us. And we need to be passionate about God. Amen. Because it's a relationship that we have with him. And God is a jealous God, and we get jealous, amen? So these are traits that we pick up, things that God has given us. And the Bible says, in our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. So God has given us dominion over the earth. We are the caretakers of the earth. We're over the animals, over the fish, over the sea, amen? Not over each other, amen? And God created him male and female. God created them. Amen. So, in talking about art and talking about God's creation, I have a little demonstration here, a little display that I brought in here today, and I know it's bugging every young person in here to know what's underneath the sheet. In fact, I had to take it away from the room because I had so many little hands trying to sneak in there, but that's all right. Because I wanted to surprise you. Don't be disappointed when you find out what it is. Amen. So the Bible says in Isaiah 64, 8, but now, O Lord, thou art Father, and we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we are the work of thy hand. So I want to reveal to you, young people, now what is it I just heard? It is our Sunday school's budgeted down version of a pottery wheel. This is actually, in fact, a pottery wheel. And this is actually, in fact, a brick of clay. So I started looking on Craigslist for an actual pottery wheel. And for a used pottery wheel, they go for around, you know, they can go anywhere in the thousands of dollars. I'm sure you can find them cheaper. I know I saw some that were cheaper, but pottery wheel is a tool, amen? And pottery is one of the oldest human inventions. If you go back through the ages, you can find pottery in the Bible, in the scripture, and lots of stories. Pottery is not only beautiful, but it's practical, amen? We use pottery because nobody wants to carry a pitcher of water from the river with their hands. That gets old after a while. So man created pottery, and he used it. He started creating chinaware, started creating other things through the pottery. And not only is it created for beauty, practicality, but it's also a vessel. And God uses pottery in the Bible to talk about a vessel, amen? And vessels love to be filled and loves to worship God. Praise God. So pottery is made by forming ceramic clay into an object required shape. So if I were to take this pottery, this clay, excuse me, and just put it out there and try to sell it as a vase or whatever, wouldn't get very far. Would it, young people? No. So it has to be put in the master's hand. Amen? And the Bible says that we were formed by God's hand. God took the time to create us. So the potter has to take clay and he has to mix it with the right materials. It doesn't just form itself. You don't just go down back in the day and buy clay. You had to make it. You had to take clay and mix it with sand and other things. Another important thing is to knead the clay, get all the air bubbles out. And when you do that, you're removing all the impurities. And then you start to put the clay on the pottery wheel. And you start to shape the clay. And see, when God is shaping us in our lives, we don't always enjoy that, do we? Because sometimes it doesn't feel good when we're being shaped, especially when you don't know the end process, amen? When we're kind of being shaped and molded, we can go through situations. God can allow us to experience certain things. And we can question it. But we must trust and know that we are in the potter's hand. Amen? The potter is shaping us and molding each one of you into a beautiful masterpiece, if you would allow him. Praise God. And then that pottery is taken to the fire. Amen? Now, there's times when we're put in the fire where that really doesn't feel good. But it's through that fire that we become purified. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says that God poured out his spirit on the day of Pentecost, Holy Ghost and fire. That fire is there to purify us, amen? To remove the impurities in our lives. See, if we want to go to heaven, it's a process. We got to get this junk out of our lives, amen? Praise God. So we go through the fire, and then God displays us, his masterpiece. You know, one other thing about the clay is that when the clay is in the hand of the potter, they rarely throw away even the little tiny pieces. They just use it to form another masterpiece. I just think that's very interesting because sometimes we think in our lives that, you know, why do I go through that or whatever? But God is using every little bit of it. Amen? So after the master has created his beautiful pottery, and you've been created in your life, and we start to live our lives, some of us have become broken. Amen? Some of us have become damaged. Some of us have made mistakes through drugs and alcohol, sexual addictions. We don't like to hear that. Nobody wants to reveal that. But it's real. Amen, church? These are things that can hold us down. Self-hurt. A lot of our young people nowadays are hurting themselves in the schools, amen? We don't know why they do it, but I can tell you that inside they're starving for attention. They want to be noticed as the beautiful masterpiece that God has made them. Some of us resort to stealing, lying, disrespecting our teachers, our policemen, and our parents. We need to respect those in authority over our lives. And when we don't, we tear down that authority, and then we sit there and wonder why our generation is the way it is. Young people, we must obey the authority over us. Or maybe you feel broken because of abuse. Someone you loved has left you scarred and damaged. Somebody you felt like has bought you, put you on display, only to drop you. Someone you loved left you shattered. Amen. And it is this point that I really want to focus on, because our topic is from broken to beautiful. You know, I just want to say this too, that parents, we have to speak words of encouragement in our children's lives. Because everywhere our children go, they're hearing words of hurt and other, you know, just crazy things. We don't need to be the ones that are tearing them down, amen? We need to be the ones that are building them up. So we have our brokenness. Suddenly we're found that we are not valuable anymore. We have taken ourselves and we have sinned, and we have allowed sin or shame in our lives, things that have come in our lives, and we're broken and we're in many pieces. But don't give up hope. See, the Japanese have mastered a craft called kintsugi. Kintsugi means golden rejoining. It's a 15th century old master craft dedicated to the restoration of fine ceramic pottery. The ancient art form is about transforming broken ceramic pottery into beautifully resurrected masterpieces. If I could have that picture, please. Thank you. Personally, I think that looks better now than it did before. Praise God. Making the impossible possible. So you feel like in your life that you are broken. You're without form again, because everything is falling apart. You know, in the description of my children trying to describe to them drugs, I took my daughter to the internet and I showed her pictures of people before and after. And it's really hard to imagine that going through that journey, that drugs can take you that far. Sin can take you to places that you don't want to go, and yet you follow along and you're trapped and you're bound by those addictions in your life. But God has a way of rejoining us, amen? If we submit our hands back into the Master Creator, if we submit our lives back into the hands of the Master Creator, 2,000 years ago, he died on a cross at Calvary, and his blood becomes the glue that can join our lives together again, that can cover our wounds. And when the accuser comes and says, "But I had seen this myself. It was left here and it was broken." You can stand there and say, "Devil, where's my wound?" No, God has fixed this. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is the God of second chances. Amen. Now, we have a lot of preliminaries here, and I don't want to take up a great deal of your time. So if our worship team could come at this time, and if I could ask you to stand. The Bible says in Jeremiah 18, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." I love this story because Jesus, or God, is saying here, I'm going to give you, Jeremiah, an object lesson, okay? Go down to the potter's house. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on a wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Are you willing to let the Master reform you and reshape you? Amen. The Bible says that in the Garden of Eden, God's special place. God created man and woman. But in Genesis 3, the Bible tells us, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. God's creation was poisoned. Amen? The enemy came in and he lured away Adam and Eve. And if we were to leave the story right there, we would think, oh, this, they got tainted. They're broken. They're left aside. But the Bible says in Genesis 50, verse 20, that ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Amen? You know, when we think about the poison of sin that was entered into man in the Garden of Eden, we think about the serpent. I have a six-year-old boy at home, and he loves to look at creepy crawlies and snakes. So I started to watch, like, some snake videos on YouTube. And, you know, you get the other links up there that kind of keep coming and coming. And so I started to look at, I started to watch, there's a place called a serpentarium, and that's where they keep snakes. And there's an animal called a mongoose. And if anyone's ever heard of a mongoose, it looks kind of like a weasel, probably part of the family of weasel family. And weasels are known for killing snakes. King cobras are one of the fastest snakes out there. And that mongoose can go in and strike the cobra behind the neck. And you think, wow, that mongoose is so fast. Does he not get bitten? They do. It goes on to say that they do get bitten. But see, there's something in the mongoose's blood that when they are bitten, they do not, that poison does not take hold of their blood cells. Their blood rejects it. When the poison tries to latch on to the mongoose's blood, it rejects it. But as I continue to watch these shows, and I continue to kind of watch some more, I look more into the serpentarium, and they take the poisonous snakes, and they have a process called milking the snakes. And that's really gross, but it's they take the poison from that snake. And the reason they take it is so that they can create what's called an antidote. If you're bitten by this snake, you can receive an injection to save your life. And I thought it was funny because it wasn't from the mongoose that they created the antidote. It was from the venom. It was from the very poison the enemy intended to destroy you. Amen. God had taken that poison and using it, they're using it to save people's lives. When we are broken, the very thing that the enemy wants to tear you down with, God can use that story to save other people. God can save other people through the poison that has been injected in your life. Amen? So I wonder here today if someone would be willing to open up to God, to reveal the hurt, to reveal the broken pieces. If someone would be willing to lay down at the feet of Jesus, allowing Him to beautifully and masterfully put your life back together again. Church, this altar is open to anybody hurting, anybody in need of some rebuilding in their life. Maybe you've been struggling with something in your life and you just want to say, God, I'm laying it at your feet. I'm tired of doing this, Lord. Just come and bring it to the altar. Bring it to the Master's feet and lay it down. Lay it down before Him and allow Him to beautifully recreate your life. Beautifully reshape your life. And someday you'll be able to hold yourself up to the world and say, this is what my God has done. Amen. This is what my God is able to do for you. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Please come. Don't ignore. Hallelujah. This altar call, this altar is open. God is patiently waiting here today for each one of you to come and speak to Him. Hallelujah. He has great plans for your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody's hurt you and you just need to come and forgive. We must forgive. We must be able to lay that down at the Master's feet too. Father, I have been broken. I have been abused. I have been hurt, oh God. I want to come and lay it at your feet, oh God. This is all I have to give to you, Lord. And God is standing there saying, oh, but wait till you see what I can do. Wait till you see what I can make with this. Amen. Won't you come? Hallelujah. Receive the saving grace of Jesus' blood. Hallelujah. You can come to this altar right now and you can repent for your sins. You can be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And the Bible says that you shall receive power to overcome sin, overcome the things of the world. You can be baptized. We have a baptismal tank behind this wall. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just as they did in the book of Acts. Won't you come today? Won't you come? Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.